Pretty soggy start to the weekend, wasn't it? Friday into Saturday. It's still a week of summer to go here, but it was a good old-fashioned summer storm. And a lot of rain, even some hail in some parts. Emerald Park, White City, hammered the worst, judging from photos you are sharing on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page. I see some canoeing in ditches. A lot of photos of flooded underpasses, people pushing stuck cars, lots of leaky roofs around town. I know on social media there was someone sharing Superstore East had water coming through the roof. I bet that was happening in more than just their business. And it looked like Wascata Lake to some had overflown in some spots. It was coming down so hard. Approximately 4 inches of rain fell in Pilot Butte, White City area. Some think maybe even more than that. I know we spoke to Dwayne. Dwayne Sarita says the water kept climbing higher and higher in the White City Emerald Park area. You couldn't believe it.
And my back trees on the east side where it was flooded. It was water was coming in. That's how bad it was.
He's not seen anything like it in the 30 years he's been in that area. And there was also toonie to lime-sized hail in some spots. My buddy Darcy sent me a photo of the Canoste Golf Course. Looked like a lake had formed there on one of the holes there. Thanks, Dars, for that one. Here in Regina, Ring Road was closed for a period on Saturday because of flooding and vehicles stalled in the lakes that formed beneath the underpasses. People just do not learn. And rain not ideal, obviously, for farmers trying to get out in the fields. I'm a little too soggy for the next few days. Need some drier weather. Maybe by week's end here we'll get on a roll. But the latest crop report shows 41% of this year's harvest is in the bin, up from 23% the previous week. Pretty disappointing loss for the Riders, too, right? We heard from you on the Green Zone.
This was our stinker game of the year.
I think the defense got a rude awakening that there's some stuff that they need to work on.
I can't remember ever seeing their run defense this bad.
The Alouettes crushed the Riders 48-31 to snap their five-game losing skid. We're in a bye week now, but let's ask Grey Cup champ Belton Johnson to join me here for a moment. The sky is seemingly falling, but it's really not. Is it, Belton? Come on.
No, the sky is not falling in on the Riders. Let's just say that, you know, the Riders, they didn't look like they came to play Saturday. And, you know, I do got it equated to a couple of injuries there and everything as well, right?
Yeah, we did have some starters sit out. But even head coach Corey Mace doesn't think that's why they lost. So analyze a little more here for me. Why do you think they lost?
Well, I'm going to get straight to it. It was the defense. Like, you know, I think we're so used to seeing the Riders defense play at such a high level, what, at least the past six games, I'll say, where, you know, they're getting pressure on the quarterback. They're sacking the quarterback, you know, just causing havoc and chaos. Well, this game here, I don't think I even saw pressure. I know there were no sacks or anything. And, you know, McLeod, Bethel Thompson threw for 379 yards. And again, the Riders, they weren't able to stop the run either, Greg. Like, that's their MO. They stopped the run. And with the backup running back there, Stevie Scott III there, I believe he ran for 125 yards. So I equated to that. The defense is always the bread and butter of this team, and it kind of let them down a little bit.
Well, you're going to lose some games, and we're still in a great situation here. Let's face it. The good news is, thanks to losses by the Bombers and Elks, our 10-3 Riders, they had already officially clinched a playoff spot. They're on the bye now. So I just want to ask you about Jamie and I's commentary. He thinks the Alouettes are still the team to beat now in the East. Do you feel the same way? Like, he's calling for the Riders and Alouettes, I believe, in the Grey Cup. Do you still think that, too?
Well, I can see why he thinks that, because if the Alouettes get the quarterback with Davis Alexander back, they've shown to be pretty solid. And the Alouettes, they have had a pretty solid defense. You know, maybe not the last, you know, 2-3 games, but against the Riders, they had kind of gotten back there a little bit, right? So, and, you know, again, if they get healthy down the stretch, I certainly could see it. Are they one of the juggernauts in the East? I think they could be. You know, I know the Ticats, we look at that team. But, yes, I think if they could get Davis Alexander back and that defense for the Alouettes come up, yeah, it could definitely be the Alouettes there at the end of the season.
Belton Johnson, what do the Riders need now to rebound? I know they're in a bye. What is it they need to do?
Oh, I was going to say rest. So that is a good thing. And once they get the guys back. But the only thing they need to do is get back to that form with the defense, right? You know, bringing the pressures and everything. And again, with the bye week, I think the coaches, they'll reassess things, look at things, right? I'm not worried about this team at all, Greg. That was just a little a bump in the road, if you will.
Okay, champ. And you didn't try to drive under the underpass, did you, and get through that lake?
No. Whenever it rains like that, it doesn't surprise me when I see things like that, Greg.
I can't believe people try to do that still, but I could see you in your shorts and flip-flops. You're probably still wearing them, helping push people through the lake. But I'm glad you got through the rain and no damage. And, you know, although we got a little damage down the field, I think you're right. They'll turn it around nicely. Belton, have a great week.
Hey, have a good one, Greg.
Well, I know many of you were at Keith Urban on Saturday night. It was sold out, packed house. He channeled Chapel Rowan when he left the main stage of the Brand Center to walk through the crowd and sing acoustically for three or four numbers in the back of the room. One was a cover of Pink Pony Club. He sounded great. Later, Keith would continue on. I think he played about 20 to 25 songs over 2 hours. It's probably one of the best concerts the Brand Center has seen. Now, don't take my word for it. Have a look at that video on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page. And so many of you sharing your photos and your videos. Like Chantel Hay said, that was awesome. He really seemed to be loving it up there. And that's how I felt, Chantel. You could tell he genuinely enjoys doing what he does. He stayed on the stage and shook hands. After the house lights came up, a lot of fans said they sat there chatting with him, as that was pretty cool. After the concert was over, he stuck around and signed so many autographs. Brendan Moffitt said, hey, amazing. Brand Center will never be the same. That was the best party ever. Joanna Azever said, amazing. Love him. You can tell he loves performing. Jill Docking said, blown away by his talent. Amazing performer, Lorna Smith told me on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page. And yeah, Chapel Rowan, if you missed it on Friday, Rick Bennett, CEO of The Real District, said they're working on he's talked to her.
The answer is yes, we have. She's going to finish up her touring this year in Europe, and there's a number of dates in the U.S. They're going to do a reset, and we're waiting patiently for her to fulfill her promise to come to Saskatchewan.
Given how Saskatchewan's been put on the map from the tourism aspect because of this song of hers, do you see her concert if she comes at Mosaic Outdoors?
That's a good question. I think the answer is yes. We would obviously love to have it in Mosaic Stadium. And we also see rounding it out perhaps with additional acts that are similar generis to Chapel Rowan. Work in progress, Greg, but be assured it's an everyday discussion here at Real.
Nice of Rick Bennett from The Real District to join me on Friday and share that with you. And one other thing about Keith Urban, I told you, if you'd never seen him, and many of you hadn't, what an amazing guitar player, as a lot of you are commenting on that too. But after he took a break and came back for the encore, he came back in an I Love Regina shirt. Well, there's already Christmas decorations in some stores. I saw big box stores like Costco, Walmart already have Christmas stuff entering their aisles. Halloween's been around, it seems like, since the beginning of August with the candy. And now I was in Canadian Tire yesterday getting a few things I needed for a few fix-ups around the house. And all their Halloween decorations were out and more is set to come. But no pumpkins at the grocery store. I haven't seen those yet. However, near Davidson at a farm, the Bender family farms, and they're growing pumpkins like you've never seen before. Tara Lee Bender and her husband, Evan, farming there near Davidson. And on the phone with me is Tara. Welcome to the show, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What do you got growing there? It's pretty incredible. I saw a picture on Facebook. Go ahead and describe what you have before you right now.
So we have a giant pumpkin growing in our garden.
How long has it been growing now?
I think we probably put it in the ground probably the end of May.
Okay, this is no ordinary pumpkin. Do you continue to have it on the vine, or have you taken it off the vine, or is it still growing?
It's still growing, so we'll leave it on the vine as long as we possibly can until we get a frost. Then we'll have to cut it off.
Have you taken the time to weigh your giant pumpkin?
Yes, we have.
How do you weigh a giant pumpkin, by the way? What do you do? Take out your bathroom weigh scale?
I wish. We actually have to measure it. So there's three different measurements we take, and then we add them up. And then there's actually a chart that we put it into, and we can come up with the weight.
Okay. You've nicknamed this pumpkin, by the way, too, haven't you?
We have.
Why?
It's just something kind of fun to do.
What do you refer to the pumpkin as?
This year, her name is Swelda.
And is that named after anyone or anything in particular?
No.
Just a swelling size of a pumpkin.
It is, yes.
Okay. All right. You've got the measurement there. What's the latest on this pumpkin? How big is it?
We measured just, I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago. And right now she is at 343 pounds.
Wow. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've looked into the record books. Like, how big do pumpkins get? Like, what's a record to beat?
Oh, I'm actually not sure what the record to beat is. There's a lot of people that grow them. I'm not too sure how many in Saskatchewan. My older brother got us into it. So it's kind of been a friendly family competition for a while.
Are you in competition this year?
We were. However, my brother lost his pumpkin.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Send
yeah.
him my condolences. That's awful. Yeah. I'm sorry about your loss.
Yeah, I win again this year.
I love it. Terry Lee Bender from the family farm near Davidson. What does your husband, Evan, think about you doing this? Or is he in on it, too?
He's in on it, too. He's just as excited. So he helps us measure all the time. And yeah. he kind of is the brains behind what
I
kind of fertilizer we throw on it. Make sure she's watered.
And that's the secret, right? The fertilizer and the amount of watering.
We'll try to water. I don't know. The more water you give them, the better. But
yeah.
We're a busy family farm, so, you know, it takes time.
I bet. So there's no secret ingredient, like you don't add sugar to the water, or do you have some secret ingredient?
No, it comes from the slough.
Okay. Tara Lee, what are you going to do with this pumpkin when it stops growing? Like, what's your goal? How much bigger do you think it'll get?
So originally my goal was to beat last year, which was at 246 pounds. So now that we've passed that, my new goal is to 500 pounds. So in a couple of weeks, we should get there.
Really?
So we can avoid the frost.
I hope you get there. That's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Swelda, as it's called, is growing as we speak. How's everything else on the farm there this morning? Have you guys got most of the crop off now?
We're just have canola left.
And how has it been going so far this year?
It's been really good.
Is Evan in a good mood? Your husband there? It's all been pretty smooth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a fun time.
Well, are you a legend now with this pumpkin in the Davidson area? Like, do people talk about you? Like, oh, my, you've got to meet her and her pumpkin.
Well, I don't know. Everyone knows about us and the pumpkins. And, yeah, they ask all the time how it's doing and how big it's getting. And
you've got children. It's like a child people are asking about.
Yeah.
If it gets over 500 pounds, what do you do with a 500-pound pumpkin after that?
We feed it to the wildlife.
You won't take any of it to make some pies?
No, I won't. If someone would like to, I would gladly donate it. But
appreciate you sharing your pumpkin story with me today. It's pretty cool that you're doing this. And please, will you check in with me if it gets over 500 pounds? I got to know.
I sure will.
All the best in carrying that the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tara Lee. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
And by the way, I just Googled it. The biggest pumpkin ever was 2,749 pounds, grown by some guy in Minnesota a few years back. Man, Saturday morning and through the early part of the afternoon, I made a lot of new friends who stopped by the corner of Scarth and 15th Central Park there as I was on location for Ronald McDonald House Charities, Saskatchewan, the barbecue. Not the greatest weather, but we stood under tents and umbrellas most of it, yet a lot of people still came out to support. It was super fun. And one thing I became aware of is not as many people are aware, as they should be aware, that here in Regina, Ronald McDonald House is under construction there. and will be open in 2027 to assist Southern Saskatchewan families who will need a break when they, God forbid, have to get to that point where you have to bring your children in for medical attention long term. And it's quite a stressful time, but they make it easier. I spoke to CEO Tammy Forrester from Saskatchewan Charities Office and how the build is going and creating more awareness that it's set to open here in Regina.
Yeah, well, you know, the house here has actually been a long time coming. You know, it's been in the minds of Ronald McDonald House leadership since 1995. Took a little bit of a detour, you know, certainly through the last 20 years, but now we're here and we are building and we're excited to support Regina and Southern Saskatchewan families.
We are literally standing next to the construction site, corner 15th and Scarth. How long till it's done? What will it mean to Regina?
So we will open early in 2027. We're well underway here for sure. Certainly for Regina families, it will have probably a less of an impact than it will have for families that travel into Regina.
So Weyburn, Estevan, yeah, Swift Current, yeah, is really going to benefit.
It really will. You know, the Maple Creeks, the Estevans that are coming to Regina General or coming into the Wascana Rehab Center, you know, they have a place. Families now have a place to stay. They don't have to sort of sleep in a chair in their child's guest room.
So close to the General Hospital. That's the whole idea here. Yeah. So just to paint the picture of that, a family might have medical needs for their kids. They come, you help support them. How many rooms are in this new home?
So we will have 20 rooms in the Regina House. Families stay for, you know, a contribution of $10 a night. So it's very minimal. They stay as long as they need to, as long as their child is receiving treatment and they need to be here. And, you know, they can bring their other kids to stay in the house with them. So it's really sort of keeping that family together during the journey.
I know my friend Craig Lothian was here earlier. He's a big contributor. He and Pam, his wife. Tell me a bit about how the philanthropy is going and who's supporting.
Yeah, we've had great support from the Regina community. Obviously, we need more. We're not quite done fundraising yet. We're at about 87% of our provincial goal. We are building two houses underneath that provincial goal of $39.9 million. Here in Regina, we're about 2.6 away from completing the fundraising for the Regina House.
So what can we do?
You can make a contribution. You can go on our website. You can check out what the house is going to look like in Regina. You can give us a call at the house in Saskatoon. We are a provincial organization, so we have sort of full jurisdiction over the entire province. We're always in Regina. Happy to meet with people and visit with people about this project.
Hit me up at the website if they want information.
www.rmh.sk.ca.
It was very nice of you to invite me here to be a part of the big barbecue on Saturday. I appreciate everything you guys are doing. It's great to see the home in Regina. Thanks, Tammy.
Yeah, thank you for your time.